Hillsdale College, clearly people need to be educated. And I think they probably should just go to Hillsdale, if Hillsdale will have them, because they're not doing critical race theory. They're doing critical thinking. Hillsdale's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. That's their hallmark since their founding in 1844. And they offer the kind of education that is required to preserve civil and religious liberties. So they educate everyone. They don't care about your political identities. They don't care about it. There's a short video that's available at Dana4Hillsdale.com that shows you how their work is effective in defending American liberty. Not just on its campuses, but also all across the nation. Students are encouraged to debate ideas openly and honestly. They're not going to sit here and shut people down. They're not going to sit here and have speakers run off campus. They don't do that at Hillsdale because it's actually, you know, an intellectual academic institution. It sounds almost foreign today, but that's their mission. That's their goal. And education is required for a free people to live freely. To learn more about the mission of Hillsdale College, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, improving hearts.
Back in January, in this building at the Department of Justice, Attorney General Merrick Garland announced Robert Herr would be the special counsel to look into these classified documents found at two locations connected to President Biden, his Wilmington home, specifically his garage where he parks his car, also the Penn Biden Center in Washington, D.C. As you mentioned, Bill, the Wall Street Journal first to report that Herr likely will not file any criminal charges against the president. Fox News is told that Herr's investigation, while still underway and not completed, he is working on a lengthy report that will likely take to task some people about record keeping and name names. The president's son, though, may not escape the wrath of another special counsel. Special counsel David Weiss, who is reportedly using a grand jury in California to investigate the first son. Now, news that a grand jury is seated in California to investigate Hunter Biden is really not a surprise. We've known special counsel Weiss was looking at California as a venue to charge Hunter potentially because he said so himself in a court filing back in August. Now, CNN was.
Well, of course, there's not going to be any charges. Can you imagine? Like, imagine living your life so, you know, to that point. Just amazing to me. There's two standards of justice. There's a standard of justice for Democrats, and then there is a standard of justice also for the president and his family. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen to the nationally syndicated radio show across the country. And this is some of the stuff that we're going to be diving into today. We're in our busy season. And I think everybody's already also checking out for Thanksgiving. We are not. So we are here. And we're going to go through everything. All right. So first off, this classified document, they're not going to have any. I mean, you've had people that had charges brought against them previously for this. So I'm trying to figure out how in the world you can get by with not having any charges. I mean, there's not going to be any. That's what they're saying. They're saying that Robert Herr, who's the special counsel, is not going to file any charges related to this. And they say that he and his team are in the process of assembling a comprehensive report summarizing their year-long inquiry. The report is projected to include these assessments, et cetera, et cetera. Charges aren't going to be brought, though. No charges. It's anticipated, they said, that there's going to be more details, but there's not going to be any charges. It must be nice to live in that world. It must be nice to live in that world. And so I'm just curious because how many people had been charged prior? How many people had been charged previously? Who's the guy that stuffed him in their socks? Who is the guy that stuffed all this stuff?
The sock drawer?
Yeah. No, when he went into the skiv and he was...
Wait, I do remember that story.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the Clinton guy. I mean, Sandy Berger, they went after him. They went after him. But with Joe Biden, that's okay. And this was like pretty, I mean, this is stuff that they had. If you remember the whole, if you remember this, when they were busting him and going through all the locations, I mean, one of those locations was that library, the office space that he was sharing with the CCP. And then to make it even like crazier, I sent this. I think I had this on your newsletter last night. You know, people in the administration, I made the remark yesterday that it's, you know, kind of a, I don't think that Joe Biden himself is completely insane. I think it's all his staff as well. I mean, there was this headline that came out wherein the one of the officials in the Biden campaign, they invited, get this, they invited the CCP and Kremlin officials to tour a U.S. nuclear site. So a senior Biden official is under fire after reports revealed that she brought the CCP and Russian representatives to a critical U.S. NATSEC location. And they said that they, this came out, their Republicans are demanding answers with us. They said that Elise Stefanik is leading 18 House Republicans in the demand for this. Some more for more information on it. I mean, you have one job, and that's to protect national security, right? That's to keep, you know, keep everything on the up and up, to make sure that the administration's doing what it needs to do. And no, you had one thing to do. One thing. That is it. One thing. And, but, you know, we're getting pandas. I sent out this meme last night. You guys know Pawn Stars, right? And it's like they come in and they're sitting here going, oh, so I have this awesome piece of antique. I have this antique or whatever. I have this rare XYZ. And they're always like, yeah, best I can do is, you know, $50. Best I can do is $100. Joe Biden, Xi Jinping meet talk. I'm sure Joe Biden asked for the world. Xi Jinping, best I can do is pandas. Best I can do. It's all I got. It's all I got. All I got is pandas. That's all I have. I just got pandas. I mean, that's all we're getting, man. You know, I had a horrible thought. Oh, this is bad. I'm just saying this to be facetious, so don't send me hate mail. You want to hear my horrible thought?
Yes.
My horrible thought is get their pandas and then put them in camps like the Uyghurs or something, right? Like hold them hostage like they did that, like they have the American hostage. Pandas hostage.
That's what we do already.
And then I'd be like, blank your pandas. And then, you know.
It's called a zoo.
Well, yeah, but like I wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't like have happy little enclosures. I couldn't actually do that because they're pandas and they're pure chaos and they look so much fun. But I'm just, you know, thinking facetiously out loud.
I love how clumsy they are.
They're my favorite videos to watch, yeah. Along with otters helping out with day-to-day tasks. That's my other favorite thing to watch. All right, so this the meeting that they've been having, we're not going to actually get into we're not going to get anything out of that. We're not going to get anything out of China. We're not going to get anything out of this. We're also, one of the things we're going to dive in today too is this war on self-defense. So I saw this story this morning, and this is on top of the charges in the Daniel Penny case. So because they're going after Daniel Penny, right? That's all underway. I tweeted about that last night. And the Daniel Penny case, as I've said before, and again, said it on social media too, it's a variable. And these are, I think, all different situations where I don't think it doesn't matter if you have a firearm or not, because it's the principle or the right of self-defense that's under attack. That's the issue that is under attack here. And it doesn't matter if you use an instrument. It doesn't matter if you use physical force. It's simply you have, you know, your right of self-defense is entirely under attack. And so this is one of the things that we're going to discuss today, because check this out. So in L.A., they had a huge thing in L.A. This father pulled a gun on intruders. They were trying to break into his home. He has a little baby. He has a 5-month-old. And he said that these masked home invaders tried to break into his home, and he had his concealed carry license revoked because he was defending himself and his kids. And then the Daniel Penny thing. So it doesn't matter. It's all about self-defense. It's just it's a variable about self-defense. And I've noticed too, and perhaps you've noticed this as well, that the people who seem to be attacking your right of self-defense also don't believe, apparently, that, you know, Israel has the right to defend itself either. I mean, good heavens. So it's the very much the same, very, very much the same. We're going to dive into all of that today. Some of the other stuff that we have on deck. We have some of the latest with the House. Also, immigration. New York City Mayor Eric Adams. You know, the thing on the statue says what it says, guys. So New York City Mayor Eric Adams says he didn't realize, guys, he didn't realize that New York City advertising itself as a sanctuary city meant that illegal immigrants would actually go there. And now he says, well, because so many illegal immigrants are coming here, guys, I guess I'm going to have to cut the number of police officers on the street and slash $1 billion from the Department of Education to pay for all of it, unless, you know, people pony up some cash, unless the feds give some cash. That's what he's saying. He's saying it. So we got to have this conversation about that. This is one of the other things that we got to talk about, because this thing on the statue says what it says. I just don't understand how these people think. What the hell do you think a sanctuary city meant? I mean, you advertised everything, bells and whistles, free this, free that, free education, free all the things. Like, what the hell did you think? Like, what did you think? You know, what did you think was going to happen? How did you think this was going to work out? My word. So, yeah, they want the feds to pony up some cash. Otherwise, he's got to also slash $1 billion from the education department. $1 billion from the education department. Oh, he says that it's because, guys, he says it's because of, you know, all the illegal immigrants. That's why.
But mm-hmm. You can't find it anywhere else?
No. The budget. No, I mean, got to cut all the cops. You got to cut the education.
Education and cops.
Yeah.
That's where you go.
Yeah.
To make your cuts.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I mean, I thought maybe they would go after some of the advertising that advertises New York City as a sanctuary city. But, you know, who am I? I'm just a person in Texas. Who am I to make, you know, super helpful suggestions? I'm just saying. So this is all the stuff we're going to get into. We got headlines on the way as well as we move. Looking for a proactive solution in the battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Have you ever played Monopoly? The purpose of the game is to build wealth by buying assets and profit. Are you playing the game by just passing go and collecting $200 without staying out of jail? Where does that go in the long run? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So David DePape, he's the weirdo who, that was the whole Paul Pelosi thing. He was found guilty in the Paul Pelosi hammer attack case. That came out yesterday. So he was having his case. He went to trial. They found him guilty. Well, of course he was guilty. Diddy was sued for, I really don't give a rat's ass. Can I skip this? I really don't care about Puff Daddy or Diddy or whatever the hell he wants to call himself. I just don't care. I don't care about these super rich, self-indulgent people's problems. I don't care. Go to hell. I don't care. Moving on. A gang of savage monkeys kill a boy age 10 in a horror temple attack. This is what I'm talking about. This is horrific. Guys, I've told you, I have problems with certain animals. I love animals. I told you how I had a slap fight with a chimpanzee, right? That our neighbors had been... Yeah, that was a real thing. Maybe I should talk about that more. This child, though, was murdered. He was murdered by a group of monkeys. They launched this horrifying attack on him in India. Deepak Thakur, 10, was playing with his friends when the little monkeys set their sights on him. They ripped his torso. They, like, ripped him apart, like, literally. It was near a temple on Tuesday, according to police. They rushed him to the hospital, but I mean, they literally disemboweled him. Medics couldn't even treat him, and they're still trying to find all of the monkeys that were involved in this attack. They are mean. People think that they're like, they're not. They're terrifying, mean little things. I think I'd rather deal with a shark than I would a gang of those monkeys. For real. Like, I'd rather deal, I think, maybe with a gang of sharks. Right? Because sharks don't have hands. You know? I'm just saying. So they had this Apex CEO summit, and Elon Musk was replaced by John Kerry due to a scheduling clash. And this was after he had been branded the world's richest bigot. He agreed with some posts, and people were calling him anti-Semitic as a result of it. Speaking of anti-Semites, Roger Waters was denied a hotel stay in Argentina and Uruguay over I don't know why they call them allegations, anti-Semitic allegations. Roger Waters is a flaming, raging anti-Semite. He is the human equivalent of an angry hemorrhoid. That is Roger Waters. He is a walking, bipedal, angry hemorrhoid who hates Jews. That's Roger Waters. I mean, have you ever seen any of the stuff that he says? Good griefs. Other people would get taken off air for saying the stuff that Roger Waters has said. So he was denied this these hotel rooms in Argentina, the socialist nation. They have standards. Who knew? He was going to be staying in Buenos Aires ahead of some shows as a part of his drill, but those reservations fell through. And also the neighboring Uruguay, they wouldn't host him either. And he said that he was still in Sao Paulo, Brazil, where he performed a few days. Nobody cares, Roger. You're an old, angry, anti-Semite. Nobody, literally nobody cares. I mean, he's still touring. He's alive still. So, you know, I guess he's doing something healthy for himself. I would just think that that much hatred, et cetera, would be bad for one's, you know, constitution, but whatever. It's not nearly half. They said that the GOP would have been at fault, that people would have faulted them if the government shut down. And they said nearly half of Americans. So the other, like, actual half would blame Democrats, right? Yeah, more than half. It's so stupid. So stupid. Just so ridiculous. Couple of other things. The New Hampshire, the presidential primary date is set for January 23rd. Democrats are mad because that defies Biden's primary order. He had not wanted this. And so New Hampshire, it's going to be the state's first in the nation GOP primary. New Hampshire Democrats are going to face punishment from the DNC if they leapfrog South Carolina. So Biden's mad because they're all fighting over their primary rules. And why in the ever-loving hell are we having another debate? So January 23rd is another debate. Another debate. How many damn debates do we have to have? How many times do we got to see the same damn people get up on stage and do the same? I'm just so tired of it. I'm just not. $10 billion for Iran. Sure, why not? Apparently, that's happening with the administration. Yeah, he's offered them another $10 billion, unlocking fresh new billions for Iran. We'll talk about that coming up. Stick with us. We got a hell of a lot more coming up this Friday on the program. So have you ever browsed in incognito mode? It's probably not as incognito as you think. And why would it be? I mean, incognito mode, like the Chrome browser itself, is Google product. And Google has made its fortune by tracking your movements online. There's even a $5 billion class action lawsuit against the company in California, where it's accused of secretly collecting user data. Now, Google's defense is that incognito does not mean invisible. So how do you actually make yourself as invisible as possible online? Well, you use ExpressVPN. Turns out that even in incognito mode, your online activity still gets tracked and data brokers still get to buy and sell your data. One of those data points is your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP to uniquely identify you and your location. So if you really want to go incognito and protect your privacy, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Dana and get 3 extra months for free. That's ExpressVPN.com/Dana. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Dana to learn more.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And make sure you find us YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. It's Friday. By the way, this is your friendly reminder to take your turkey out. Put your turkey in your fridge. Thaw it out. Start thawing it out. Right. Do not make the mistake. If y'all haven't already, make sure that turkey is thawed. Get it. Put it out. Get it out there. You know how many times, like, I'm not kidding you, every Thanksgiving, somebody's like, oh, I forgot to do this. I hear from somebody like somebody I know all the time this happens. All right, so we still a lot to hit on today, even though we're kind of winding down with the news cycle, because I think finally things are starting to kind of chill just enough. But the I got to go back to the immigration issue with New York, because, you know, New York isn't the only city. I was trying to count in my head, actually, while also looking at my notes to see how many cities I had marked as being cities where they were sanctuary cities, right? Because sanctuary cities, you know, there's quite a lot of them. Quite a lot of them. And they had advertised that they were sanctuary cities. And they welcomed all these people. Do you remember the debate that we had over the Statue of Liberty? The phrase that's on the Statue of Liberty, and how everyone acted, like the left acted like that's binding law. What's on the statue? They acted like it was binding law. Bring us your tired, you know. Well, I mean, you know, the statue says what it says. So Eric Adams, you know, being a sanctuary city mayor, and he, look, dude campaigned on this too. He had talked about sanctuary cities. He made this was a big thing with him. And he's saying, well, now we're going to have these budget cuts. We're going to have budget cuts now, guys. He's been complaining that all of these people coming into the country and going to New York, it's costing them hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's going to be, he says, and he hasn't just said it. He's like held a press conference every time he said it. He says, and we've played some of this audio. I mean, he has said that this issue is going to destroy New York City. He's warning, he warned New Yorkers that illegal immigrants are going to flood all neighborhoods. It's so weird because it's almost like we told you this was going to happen if you kept doing this. Isn't that weird, Kane? It's so weird because it's like we told him. I mean, we're really good at telling people, right? Really good at telling people like, hey, look, I mean, you know, you knew this was going to happen. And they still kept going with this policy. And so now, I don't know how many people they were having sent up to New York. And you know why I don't care? I don't care because so many towns in Texas and Arizona and California, New Mexico, so many of these other border states had to deal with this already at a greater pace, a greater number. So he's been complaining for forever. He's like, we're going to probably have to have budget cuts, you know? He had said every service in the city is going to be impacted. So now he's literally in, I was reading the New York Times piece on this, and that's what I had linked for you, I believe. He's not just cutting the education. I mean, they're looking at summer school, universal pre-K, all this stuff. He wants to look at $1 billion out of education department. The budget cuts for police, per New York Times, would bring the number of officers below 30,000 for the first time since the 1980s. And they're from, I mean, these things target literally everything from libraries and police, his budget cuts. They would freeze police hiring, close libraries on Sunday, and he warned that more cuts would be necessary without additional federal funding to manage the illegal immigration crisis. Federal funding, meaning more of our tax dollars. So you're going to be paying more. Kane, how many months do we have to work out of the year before we actually get to keep our paychecks?
Oh, man.
Is it 3 months? Isn't it 3 months out of the year?
I think it's getting up to 4 now.
Yeah, I think for some of us, it's 4 months. No joke. You guys would die if you knew what I sent to the IRS, what I had to pay. You guys would die. Hate the IRS. They're thugs. It's literally legalized thuggery. What it is. It's the Department of Thuggery. That's what the IRS is. You can bite me. So the budget cuts that they have, bringing police officers well below 30,000, slashing Department of Education by over $1 billion, delay the rollout of composting in the Bronx and in Staten Island. That's like apparently one of his initiatives that he rolled out to deal with rats and other stuff. Oh, and the climate. The cuts would also weaken, as I said, summer school, universal pre-K. He said he has to make these cuts because the cost of illegal immigration, slowing tax revenues. Wow. So you mean when you get all these people that come in illegally and they are working, they're not paying into the system? Is that what you're telling me? Because there's no way for, huh? Wow. Who knew that that's how that worked? So like when they're, you know, doing jobs and getting paid, it's not going, oh, we're not going through the, oh, imagine that. Imagine that. So now I'm wondering how New Yorkers are going to react. I mean, he came out with a video yesterday saying that, you know, we've warned New Yorkers about the challenging fiscal crises. We warned them all this stuff was going to happen. But do you think that people are going, I mean, they said that there's going to be more cuts in the next 6 months, too. So is this going to impact anything? I mean, I don't think New Yorkers are going to change how they vote. People voted for this. You voted for this. The audacity of some of these people that pretend to have compassion, too, for stuff happening at the border, they voted for this. And then when the bill comes due, they're sanctuary cities, and then you have these people who are coming into the country illegally, and then they go to these sanctuary cities. And, I mean, what did you think was going to happen? This is so asinine. Did you think that everyone else was going to carry the burden of your self-glorifying policy? And that's what it is. It's self-glorification. These people act like they have such a compassionate heart, but they're very generous with everyone else's money and resources. That's the thing. Is that true generosity? When you're saying that you want to help someone, but you actually don't want to spend the capital or the time to do it? When you say that you want to help and you think that that just co-signing a policy that doesn't require any skin from the game from you, you think that's compassion? That's how these drive-by progressives think. They think that, oh, well, you know, I just will pay more in taxes. That's not really how it works, because when you, especially with border issues at the entry, at the egress points, you have the people who are around that area that are paying the most in resource and in state tax dollars, too, with Texas. And then all of us with federal money. I think that New York should have to bear the brunt of their policies themselves. They don't deserve federal dollars. It's a rich ass city. You know what? You go down to Fifth Avenue and you shake those folks down at Fifth Avenue and you have them pay for this stuff. Y'all wanted to be a sanctuary city? Guess what? Here's your time to shine. You get to be a sanctuary city, meaning you get to reach your hand deep into your pockets and you get to foot that bill yourself. You don't get to grift and act like aristocratic welfare on the backs of everybody else. You get to pay for your policies yourselves. You get to pay for it. So all you people in New York who voted for this, all those Democrats, sorry about you guys who are upstate. Really sorry about that. You guys got to deal with all the stupid people that are down in Manhattan. I feel you. But particularly for the people in Manhattan, particularly the people who have been voting for Democrat year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation. This is on you. Pay your damn bill. Pay your fair share. Pay the share of your ideology that is costing you. It is not anybody else's job to pay for your welfare asses up in Manhattan. Mm-mm. Next. Not doing it. That's what it is. It's a grift. It's a grift. Pay it for yourselves. I don't care if they cut every damn program. I don't care if you all cut your whole damn police department. I don't care if you cut your entire Department of Education. I don't care if you cut it all. That is what you asked for. It is what you got when you voted for it. Suck it up. Lie in the bed that you made. This was him asking for money. Please, sir, can I have some federal money? We're a sanctuary city.
While we succeeded, make no mistake, we are not out of the woods. We added billions of dollars to care for the migrants. COVID funding is sunsetting, and we must close a $7 billion budget gap in the coming fiscal year. That is the reality we are facing. And if circumstances don't change dramatically, city agencies will be forced to reduce city funding spending by 5% two more times within the next 6 months. That would mean disruptions to the services we all rely on. We cannot afford to be divided as a city in this moment. We must come together and speak with one voice to Albany and Washington, D.C. to get the support we need.
Too bad. You guys voted for it.
To join us in that call.
No, that's what you guys wanted. You guys wanted that. You shamed all of us who said maybe we should have some laws. Maybe we should have some, you know, I don't know, like orderly entry into the country. You guys didn't want that. If it's one thing that I hate, it's people who sit here and they eat big on somebody else's dime. That's like, it's like taking New York out to dinner. Taking Manhattan out to dinner, and you're sitting at the table with Manhattan. Manhattan's ordering all this stuff. You're having like a simple meal. you know, you're eating in your budget. Manhattan with its champagne taste and its beer budget, eating all this stuff, and then sends you the bill after. Oh, hell no. We're not doing that. I hope they cut every damn department. I hope their trash piles up in the street. I hope they're miserable and they suffer because everyone else has to suffer. You push everyone else to deal with these policies and y'all get off scot-free. I'm done with it. You know what? And even if they did, even if they cut everything and they were suffering, they still wouldn't have an ounce of the squeeze that all of these other border towns have been dealing with for decades. So I do not feel anything in my heart for you but contempt. Not at all. And that's your all's own doing. That's Manhattan's doing. Stop voting for stupid people. Maybe you won't have stupid consequences from stupid policies. Super simple. It's like you got to explain cause and effect. It's like trying to teach dolphins how to read. Actually, they can't read. Probably. I wouldn't doubt it. Can't they search out missiles and stuff? Don't they got them weaponized up in the Black Sea with Russia? Oh, yeah. Same. So we got a couple of other things to get into because we got some culture. In Bethlehem, we're going to talk about this coming up. In Bethlehem, they had a Christmas display that was actually, they're taking it down. They're not allowing it because they want to be respectful of the Hamas martyrs. In Bethlehem, Christmas season. We're going to get into all of that and more. You don't want to miss. Looking for a proactive solution in the battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
To connect our people to one another in the future of greater prosperity and dignity for all.
What?
So much of history of the world will be written in the Asian Pacific in the coming years.
Okay. What is that supposed to mean? Interesting that he said that, though, isn't it? That was part of his APEC remarks. Joe Biden, yesterday. Interesting. Welcome back to Days of these United States. Very interesting indeed. So he's, you know, one of the things that he also announced is that, can we play audio soundbite too, also? Because I'm... Kane, why didn't we get into this grift?
Dude? I know.
We missed a huge opportunity here. Business opportunities. Audio soundbite two.
You know, the impacts of climate change are being felt the most by those countries that contribute the least to the problem, including developing countries. We contributed a lot here in the United States over the last 300 years. That's why I'm working with our Congress to dramatically increase international climate financing.
Does he have something in
this year? The world is on track to meet the climate finance pledge that we made under the Paris Agreement of $100 billion.
What?
Collective. The mask may not be fitting properly.
Oh my gosh! Are you still with that?
What?
Are you still with the mask? What? The masks thing with Biden.
It's quite possible.
It could be. It sounds like he has something in his mouth though when he talks, and it's really annoying. Like it's like he's got something in his mouth. Like he's going that. He's doing that. What is that? What is he doing? I don't know what that is, but he sounds worse now than he did before when he talks. He sounds worse now. I don't get it. It's real weird. But he sounds like he's got like Invisalign. Like he just got Invisalign and he hasn't learned how to talk with it yet. That's the Paris Agreement. So is the bladder one. The cinnamon one. I don't get that. But to the point, though, $100 billion for atoning for U.S. carbon emissions. Who do you pay that to? Like, what do you mean you're spending $100 billion to atone for an imaginary theory that hasn't even found scientific consensus with? Really? That's what we're doing. I'm calling shenanigans, man. I'm calling shenanigans on this. $100 billion to atone for what? What is China paying? Because China's still the biggest polluter. What are they paying for atonement? Out of curiosity. Anything? Anything at all? Anybody? No? Nothing. $100 billion. You know what you could do with $100 billion? Not spend it on carbon emissions. That's so stupid. What are they doing with that? On what? $100 billion for what? That's a crap ton of money. $100 billion for the weather. We're going to shoot it at the sun and hope it makes it happy. This is like it's like a human sacrifice plague doctor kind of thing. Like old timey flat earth and kind of stuff. That's what this is. Have you noticed how similar that ideology is to climate change? The climate change ideology? Very similar. I just want to know what $100 billion is. What are you going to build? Stupid windmills? Those are so dumb. What are you going to do? More solar panels? What are you going to do? You're going to go plant trees, act like you're planting trees, but not really plant them? I'm just curious.
I think it's mostly for subsidies.
For their friends' companies?
Yeah.
Like Solyndra, they're going to collapse and fail in a couple of years after they take the taxpayer check, and then they let it all go to hell, and then they leave with the money.
It's cyclical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Great job there, guys. Great job. Yeah, how lovely.
Plus, CO2 is literally what plants crave. The fact that they want to reduce CO2 is clear that they're not interested in actual life.
True.
Or perpetuating life.
True.
Because getting rid of the very things that produce oxygen on this planet is kind of short-sighted.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. So, coming up, in our second hour, the self-defense is under attack. We're going to discuss that. We're also going to get how you can't give away a book if it's not banned pink. Jeez. I saw a picture of, who's that guy? Who's Eddie Izzard? Looked a lot like pink.
Exactly.
Wow. All right. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. Good friends over at Headrest Safe. If you don't have a Headrest Safe, you need to get one. Look, maybe not all of you carry, right? Maybe not all of you carry firearms, but I bet you do carry stuff that's valuable, or maybe you have medication, or maybe, just maybe, you're one of those people that's had to leave something of value in your vehicle, and you were a little bit nervous about it, either because you didn't really trust the little safe that you had in there, or you know how easily glove boxes can be broken into, locked or not. This is where the Headrest Safe comes in. The Headrest Safe is truly innovative. I mean, I have one of these. I installed it. Super easy to do. In fact, if I can do it, you can do it, and it's not going to go anywhere after. The Headrest Safe, though, it's exactly what it sounds like, Headrest Safe. It's the passenger side vehicle safe, so there's no interference with the driver. And it's designed to be invisible to the uninitiated. It's been awarded the Editor's Choice Award by Concealed Carry Magazine. It's designed as a gun safe, but you can put anything in there. Jewelry, medication, cash, other valuables. If you're going camping, you're going hiking, you go to the park, maybe you got to have medication you put in there. You don't want to keep it on you. All this stuff. This is where the Headrest Safe comes in. You can get to your stuff in 2.5 seconds. There's a magnetic access door, a user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader. There's the keypad, a hard key as well. And it has a very unique adjustable post system. So you got a perfect fit in any car or truck. The Headrest Safe caters to anyone seeking secure and accessible in-vehicle storage. Experience the innovation at theheadrestsafe.com. Use Dana, code Dana, for an exclusive $50 off. That's theheadrestsafe.com, code Dana, for $50 off. The Headrest Safe, transforming the way we protect our valuables and vehicles with a 100% money-back guarantee.
Phil, it is stunning. I was a school principal when that happened, and that impacted how we taught students and how we protected students that day. I do believe it is a lot. There's a lot of misinformation, and we have a responsibility collectively to make sure we're guiding students on how to look for misinformation, how to be educated consumers of information. But I also think we need to continue to work with parents to make sure that they're aware of what tools they have at their disposal to limit misinformation from students and protect their students.
So I'm trying to figure out, okay, so that's Education Secretary Miguel Cardona, and he's responding to this thing that has been circulating all over social media, the Osama bin Laden, whatever letter thing that's been going on around social media, and talking about that situation. And he's acting like it's somehow misinformation. Misinformation. Well, it was a letter that was up on the Guardian's website for like 20 years. It was on the Guardian's website. And then it was, we talked about this yesterday, and then it got picked up, and then it started, it got going. And then all of these people, in a very organized fashion, I think, started doing this, these videos about it. Though, I mean, and you still maintain, Kane, as I do, that it looks super organized.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, it looks super organized. And they're all like mostly women. I've only seen videos from like two dudes. All the other people have been women. And so he's saying is that in a discussion, like how could these people be doing this? He's talking about having students look out for misinformation. Can I be honest with you guys about something? It's not a condemnation because I get it. People are busy. But the diligence that we have as parents to look at the stuff that our kids are learning, it is a shame, a damn shame, that it took a pandemic for parents to pay attention to what the hell was happening in their kids' classrooms. I'm just saying, I'm glad that they've seen it and they can put a stop to it. But what if we hadn't had a pandemic? Would we be having the outrage that we have? I mean, I'm just saying, I think the lockdowns and all that were stupid. But if there's any, I guess, silver lining, if somebody has to have something to take away from it, then seeing what your kids were learning in the classroom, I guess, is one of them. But it is a shame that it took that. So when I hear Cardona say, well, you know, we have to have parents, you know, have these tools as well. Part of the problem with all of these dumb people posting this stuff on TikTok about Osama bin Laden is because they haven't been raised to be smart. They haven't been raised in an educated fashion. It's not enough just to check boxes. You need to make sure that your child is educated enough to recognize not just right from wrong, but to recognize real compassion from theatrics and to recognize cause and effect and understand it. These are basic concepts that a lot of people don't have. And I see these people putting these videos up and critical thinking, teaching kids how to think critically. That is, we have an epidemic of that absence in this country. So when they say the government should be guiding students to look for misinformation, I don't trust the government to guide anybody to look for misinformation. It was the government that put together that misinformation board with that crazy broad with stalker eyes, the annoying Broadway adult, Nina Jankowicz, put her in charge of it. And they considered misinformation to be even mere disagreement about the clot shot or mere disagreement about how, oh, I don't know, maybe making your health care plan more expensive and yet restricting your choices is actually worse. I mean, that's disagreeing with that was called misinformation. So I don't trust the government to determine what is or isn't misinformation since they've already proven that they do it on ideological lines. And the parents and all of this too, there are a lot of kids that didn't get their ass beat when they were growing up. And you can tell it now by who's on social media and acting a fool. You can see it. And a lot of these people on TikTok and all this putting, well, I read Osama bin Laden's letter. I was one of the videos. What did one of these broads say? I read Osama bin Laden's letter. It's a historical document. So ridiculous, dude. It's so ridiculous. Did I welcome everybody back yet? I didn't. Dana Lash with you. Listen coast to coast. I didn't welcome you all back yet. We're at top of our second hour here. I just went right into it. I'm stunned by this. I'm stunned by it. The amount, and that's why I really don't want to think that everyone is that insane. So that's why part of me wants to really believe that it's like an organized effort. And who was it? But it's not. Who's that guy? The guy, Jake Shields or whatever. I had to unfollow him on Twitter. And rarely do I follow people that I don't agree with all the time. My only requirement is that you be smart. And if you're stupid, I'll unfollow you. So there's my explanation for that. But what did he post that? He's like, well, he didn't write in his letter that he hated us. Oh, he just, you know, masterminded the taking down of our towers. But it's okay because he said that it's because they didn't. It's okay because he didn't hate us. It's pretty unbelievable. But that's the logic that they've been using. A couple of other things. Kane showed me this too. I saw this last night because this was circulating. I don't know if you saw this, but the Army has been sending out letters to all of the soldiers, everybody in the military that resisted the vaccine. And it's asking basically, I guess what it wants to ask them back. They rescinded their requirements back in February. And then they sent out and they said, we're right to notify you of new Army guidance regarding the correction of military records. So you had people who had been kicked out because they refused to get the clot shot. And so now they're saying that they're allowing people to change their military personnel records, including characterization of discharge as it relates to the clot shot. And if people were desire to return to service, they can, et cetera, et cetera. You could say it's good news. I mean, to me, this is nothing. There should have been a major, I require a major public apology, not this. We're just going to quietly send out a letter, BS. I require one to lie prostrate in front of the American people and beg for forgiveness. Because this was such an egregious offense. That's what it's going to take for reconciliation. Otherwise, I don't think that enlistment is worth it. Oh, I've said it. It's probably unpopular to say. I don't care. I'm not here to tickle everybody's fancies and be everybody's BFF. I'm not your damn big bird. You want my opinion? There's my opinion. Unless they start groveling, we're so sorry that we acted like CCP leaders. And we kicked out perfectly healthy people for not getting the clot shot. We are so sorry that we actually labeled as insubordinate people who declined to get the clot shot. The injection that doesn't work. YouTube, you fascist bastards, you people can just pound sand because it is an ineffective liquid injection that the government was making you get that does absolutely nothing. It never did anything. It still doesn't do anything. It is a placebo that people were led to believe actually was effective. It is a sin that your government committed against you, an offense that is so egregious, a stupid little, well, we write to inform you that you can change your records letter from the military, pound sand. I want public groveling. I want a public apology to everyone whose characters you impugned. I want a public apology to all the people whose records were ruined because of the way that they were discharged, because they refused to play along with your pretend fantasy science fiction and believe that this injection was actually helpful in any way. No, you owe a lot of people an apology. So no, I would set it on fire. I wouldn't change anything in the record. I'd set it on fire. The fact that you even have to do it yourself. That's the thing that they list in here. You can request a correction, pound sand, change it for them. Let's save everybody the effort. You impugn the characters of all these people that rejected your quote unquote vaccine. You change it yourself instead of going through this whole, making them go through this process of clearing their names. You rat bastards. It's Friday. Half of you are preparing your turkey already, getting it ready in the fridge. I don't care. This is stupid. This is one of the things that makes me the angriest. It makes me the angriest. And I'm still mad over it. And I have every right to be. I had people in my husband that were in my husband's groomsmen. One of my husband's groomsmen wouldn't have anything to do with us because we had already had the virus and we didn't get the vaccine on top of it. And basically intimated that we were killers and we just disregarded everybody else's well-being. You had people that were stupid enough to buy into this fairy tale. And all of these branches of government, including military, they think that they're just going to sidestep it with a simple letter. Burn in hell. No. You absolute, dirty, just ignorant, evil rat bastards. No. You owe a lot of people an apology. People were arrested for this. They were kicked out of military service for this. Oh, and now you need them back? Because old President Daddy Showers McCheesehead, because he can't keep it straight in the Pacific? And hell, we may be involved in a two-front World War III again? Oh, now you need everybody back, huh? I saw this tweet the other day, and it said, it was some kind of survey. I didn't bother looking at it. But it was a survey wherein they said that people, they're talking about military recruitment and how low military recruitment is, and that people don't want to fight for their country anymore. That's not the truth of the matter. Not at all. People are tired of fighting their country. They're tired of fighting their government. How do you feel about a government that takes 40% of your income and sends it to Ukraine? How do you feel about a government that won't allow you to talk about any, by the way, any funding for any kind of foreign nation, because sometimes it's off limits to talk about some? A government that colluded with the CDC to hide defensive gun usages as a way to argue for you. You had the government, that the CDC, that colluded with gun control groups as a way to argue you out of your rights. That kind of, that government. The government that thinks that your kids, by way of being in schools that they force you to pay for and provide subpar education because they don't allow teachers to teach, that government. Do you really feel like, you know, putting it all on the line for that government? People don't feel like dying for a government that would penalize them for calling a man a man. People don't feel like dying for a government that would fire them from the, kick them out of the military because they didn't get an ineffective, not really vaccine clot shot. People don't want to die for a government and put it on the line for a government that would disarm their wives or their husbands, their families at home while their loved one is away fighting overseas. No, it's not that people don't want to fight for their country. They're tired of fighting their country, their government. People want to fight for the American dream all damn day, but this government doesn't represent the American dream. That's the issue. We have more on the way. Wise foods. By the time I think we're all done with this stuff, we're going to need to be eating our wise foods because we're going to have burned everything to the ground in order, in addition to all the bridges. Are you prepared for whatever life throws your way? Because look, here's the thing. If something goes sideways, the last thing that you want to worry about is, gosh, how am I going to eat? Where's my next meal going to come from? This is where Wise Food Storage comes in. So right now, you can save $50 on your four-week food survival kit. You get free shipping at preparewithdana.com. Two-bucket, four-week survival food kit. It has 2,200 calories. You get 64 grams of protein per day, 28-day supply. Everything is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients. Just add water. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, 25-year shelf life as well. They got a ton of different dishes, a lot of different options. And you can order yours today at preparewithdana.com. And you save $50 on your four-week survival food kit, plus you get that free shipping. So visit preparewithdana.com and, you know, get prepared. That's preparewithdana.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this quick headline I just saw, NASA's planning to build a subdivision of homes on the moon. It could actually be sooner than you think. That HOA is going to be so annoying. It's going to be so annoying. Yeah, they want to build civilian housing on the lunar surface using 3D printing robots within two decades. Yeah, they're going to send a construction bot to the moon. They'll use mineral fragments, dust, and lunar concrete from the moon's surface to build the dwellings. Okay, interesting. They said that they're working with international and commercial partners, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, seriously, what's the HOA going to be like there? That's wondering. One of the things we're going to talk about here coming up, the FBI's Washington field office via Luke Rosiak explicitly made the decision to let a child pornographer go free to focus on J6 defendants, and they had to admit this in court documents. And then the pedophile went on to be caught with a different 10-year-old boy by authorities in Alaska. Wow. We're going to get into that coming up. I had to put that on the table for you because I knew you'd be... It's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. Also, oh goodness, where's my stuff at? I lost everything. Where did my headlines go? I hate... You know what? I'm going to tell you. I hate having a 4.5-foot screen when I clutter it up with all kinds of stuff. I got to tell you. Okay. Devastated... Oh my gosh, guys. A family... I don't even know how this happens. So this family in Mississippi, they go to the wake, right, of the loved one. They go in, they see the person in the funeral home, in the casket. Person in the casket is wearing the clothes and someone, they found the wrong person in the casket. Not their loved one.
What?
Yeah, not the loved one. It was somebody else different entirely in the casket. In the casket they bought, wearing the clothes and jewelry they bought for their loved one. And then the staff demanded more money to fix the problem.
No.
Oh, they did. Georgia Robinson, sister of Mary Jean Robinson, this is in Jackson, Mississippi. She knew something was off immediately. She said, we knew something was off when we saw her. It wasn't her. It was not her sister. It wasn't her sister that was in there. And so they said that they were horrified. And it was called People's Funeral Home. They said the People's Funeral Home in Mississippi. It doesn't sound like it. Yeah. Whose people? Not their people. Not their family. Oh, my gosh. She was like, just think if we had had a closed casket, we would have buried. I mean, if it's a closed casket, they would have buried somebody else. Stick with us. Our friends over at Kel-Tec, the PMR30. Kel-Tec is a great company, and they make a lot of really cool stuff. And if you are unfamiliar with anything that they have, well, you need to go familiarize yourself, and you need to go check it out at KelTecWeapons.com. So the PMR30 is awesome. You have the PMR30 and the CMR30. I love the PMR30. I have it. It's an awesome 22, lightweight, 30-round standard capacity. It's great for target acquisition, practicing target acquisition. I think it was a great entry pistol for my kids when I was training them with proper stance and discipline with shooting handguns. And it's really cool. I mean, then you have the CMR-30 as well, which is the carbine, right? That's the carbine version. And so the cool thing with these two is that they're incredibly innovative. I mean, it's perfectly, I guess you could say packable, the CMR-30. And the CMR-32, it's incredibly versatile. It's 22, holds 30 rounds in each of its two flush fit mags. You got a lot of firepower. It's like, what, 3.8 pounds, I think. Comes out of the, I mean, it's the Magpul sights, it's ambidextrous. It's the big brother to the PMR-30. You have an integrated accessory rail for mounting a light, all kinds of really cool stuff for the CMR-30. You need both of them, honestly. It's the PMR-30's big brother. It takes the same 22 Magnum magazines. You got the ballistic advantage. You have to learn more about it. You can learn all about the PMR-30 and the big brother, the carbine, the CMR-30 at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC, weapons.com. Follow them on social media, too. KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
It's good to see you again. We had dinner last night. I told you, you sat next to my wife. You were so captivating. I was worried she liked you more than she likes me now. I don't know.
Gosh, why is he so awkward? That's Joe Biden, who, I don't know. Apparently the folks talking on YouTube were saying that he may have cotton in his mouth for like medicine. It could be because he's talking like this. It has all that. It's like he's got something there. It's not dip. What is it? He got some in his mouth. I don't know what it is. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast. YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV. He was speaking to Manuel Lopez Obrador. That was at APEC. Really, Obrador, the guy who is making it so problematic for you with the border? I mean, did you see what Mexico just did, right? So you have this Senate Bill 4 in Texas, right? And Senate Bill 4, this is if you're crossing illegally into the border, into Texas, if you cross the country, you come here illegally, that's going to be now, it should be anyway, a state crime. So you're committing a crime. And that's going to give law enforcement the ability to deport people. And so if you come here illegally and you bypass all legal methods of entering the country, you cannot be allowed to stay here. For the people who follow the law, we are not going to allow people to butt in front of those individuals who follow the law. Those are the people you want, not the people who are ignoring the law and want to cut in line. And so the Mexican government, they issued this statement. Are you ready? They said, quote, this is from their Secretary of Foreign Relations. The government of Mexico reiterates its rejection of any measure that contemplates the involuntary return of migrants without respect for due process. You don't get due process. You enter the country illegally. Your due process is that our foot isn't in your ass when we kick you back across the Rio. I'm so done with this. You don't get to claim rights that citizens have here or people who entered the country legally have here. You don't get to claim those rights. You don't have access to that. Mexico doesn't determine what the law of the United States is. They said that Mexico recognizes the sovereign right of a country to decide public policies, but they reject any measure that allows state or local authorities to detain or to return nationals to Mexican territory. Kane, what happens? Because your family, you have family in Mexico. What happens if, you know, you cross illegally into Mexico and start acting a fool?
Oh, you get arrested right away.
Yeah. And then they usually do what?
Take you back to Mexico.
Or to the United States.
Or the end.
Yeah, they'll kick you back over.
And that's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So wait, what? Why do they get to do that? And we don't.
It's a great question. I think we do get to do that if we read the Constitution.
Yeah. But why does Mexico say we don't get to do it, but they do?
Right.
I'm.
And why do people believe it is actually a better question?
Yeah. You know, see, this is why I would not be a good politician. I couldn't sit there like that. I do not do small talk like that. I hate small talk. I have a weird thing. I'm a situational extrovert, number one, which is weird. But then number two, I have a horrible habit of just telling you exactly what I'm thinking. No filter. And I would have probably had pulled, what is that show? Or what was the movie? It was the woman Minnie from The Help, where she made a poo pie, basically. It's a chocolate pie. I'd have probably pulled one of them and put it on the table and been like, in honor of Thanksgiving, I wanted to serve you this piece of pie. President Obrador, eat up. It's delicious. Would you like a glass of milk with it? That's how we do it here. You want a big, old, tall, ice cold glass of milk with it? And then I would say, you know, afterwards, after he took a bite, I'd say, you know, didn't really appreciate your foreign minister coming out and saying that we as a sovereign country don't get to kick back people who enter the country illegally. We don't get to return them. And I just, you know, my response was for you to eat on that, which is exactly what you're doing right now. You're eating it. I would have done that. See, that's why I couldn't be president, because isn't that like a war crime or something? I don't know. That's what the left would say. It's a war crime. I don't know. Anyway, I just couldn't sit there and he's like flirting with the guy, basically. I couldn't sit there and do that. There's no way. And he'd talk like this, caught in my mouth. Jeez. So bad. But at least I have to say, he's better than Kamala. Jiminy Christmas. Her yesterday with the Unburdened by What Has Been line again. Is that just something that she trots out for special events? I've got questions. I wanted to share with you this insane story. I mentioned it during headlines. And Luke Rosiak, who does such great work, he wrote about this. It's over at the Daily Wire. This is one of the craziest. This isn't going to make you mad. The FBI halted the investigation of a pedophile so they could focus on January 6th, right? And they let him go free so they could focus on the J6 people. They admitted this in court documents. The FBI admitted it in court documents. So because this pedophile got to go free, he ended up abusing another boy. And I mean, it is horrendous. And he sent these undercover agents videos of him doing stuff that I am not going to talk about on air. It is horrific. And the FBI explicitly, on January 6, 2021, Rosiak reports, chose to abandon a sting. You might want to be careful of that subhead right there, Juan. And that, Luke didn't pull no punches with that subhead. I was like, oh boy. It's graphic. The sting that they had was on this child pornographer in Virginia, who had been messaging with an undercover agent about raping a 9-year-old boy repeatedly. And they ended up dropping the investigation into this guy, allowing him to go free, even though he sent the undercover agent tons of videos. This guy went free in Alaska, and then he found a 10-year-old to rape. And he had been messaging with these undercover agents who were with the FBI's Washington field office. He was posing as a father to this 9-year-old, and he pimped out the 9-year-old too. And it's horrific. Now, it led them, the IP address led the FBI, they say, to Brogan Welsh of Glen Allen, Virginia. Brogan Welsh, W-E-L-S-H. If something horrific happened to befall him while he's out and about in Alaska, that's called karma. And, I mean, that's a slam dunk because you have the FBI involved, they're investigating, and this guy sent the FBI agents videos of him raping kids, of himself raping kids, talking about how he would pimp them out to get raped, too. And the court documents say, quote, on January 6, 2021, the FBI Washington field office determined this investigation was halted due to events that occurred in the United States Capitol building that day. There's a direct quote. The man was only arrested and the court documents only filed because he moved to Alaska and crossed the Anchorage FBI's radar in an unrelated pedophilia investigation. And then on October 24th, just last month, after coming across troubling chats from Welsh on a phone that they seized from a different pervert they were investigating, agents went to his house and they found all kinds of manner stuff. I'm not even going to get into it. And they discovered that he had a 10-year-old boy living there with him. So they actually stopped the investigation into a child rapist who went on to go and rape a different child because they wanted to go after J6 people. It is so horrific. It is so horrific. I mean, it's sickening. I'm like sick over it. What point did you make, Kane, about chewing gum and walking at the same time?
Well, that's what they always said they could do.
And the Washington field office wouldn't say how many other ordinary criminal investigations were put on hold because of J6. They wouldn't say that. They did acknowledge that they had diverted their resources. And they said, oh, we take all crimes against children and investigations seriously, except when you don't, apparently. Who knows how many other, I mean, that's just one horrific crime. I don't know if there were other horrific crimes or if there were other just regular ordinary crimes that they decided to just abandon. They abandoned and stopped investigation because the evidence of this guy was actionable. I mean, this guy, he literally is admitting in the video that it's him. I mean, he's on camera and they know it's him that's emailing him this stuff to the agent. And then he's like offering this 9-year-old to this agent. That is horrible. And the stuff that he was sending the agent, the texts that Luke has, they're so graphic. You can't. No. And they dropped it. So that meant nothing ever went to court. This guy tripped the wires of two different FBI field offices. But yet they've gone after over a thousand people in what they call the Capitol breach. They've had 65,000 legal documents filed in those cases. And they've been doing all of this at the expense of the other cases that they could have been dealing with. They've been going after people for unlawful parading. They were going after people for just like merely being outside. I told you how the FBI was going after people who weren't even there, who weren't even in D.C. They were in a different state. They weren't even in America. They were in like Virginia or Pennsylvania or somewhere showing up at their houses because they thought that maybe this these people never even went inside. They were just captured on video outside. I mean, it is so bad. So they said that before the Capitol event, the FBI, the office there, they had declined to prosecute 35% of felonies, 52% misdemeanors already brought to them by local police. And in 2021, as they focused on Capitol defendants, Rosiak noted, those numbers grew to 56% and 42%, respectively. That's according to DOJ data. 72% of people who were arrested for misdemeanors in D.C. last year, 53% of would-be felons went free because prosecutors just didn't go after them. But they'll go after the J6 stuff. Wow. So, clearly, they are not interested in little kids suffering horrific abuse. but they would be, they're more interested in anything that is what, race-based and J6. What is their purpose again? It's horrific.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I don't understand this one. Every now and then I get a story like this where I just don't understand what has happened here. And this is one of these stories. So this, the headline is this. Florida man caught pooping on a dead possum in full view of the motoring public. Care to unwrap that one, Kane?
No, thanks.
Like, I don't even understand where this stuff comes from. Okay, so this one says the man said that the officer doesn't see straight and denied the allegations. The guy looked like he got in a fight with a possum. Yeah. So he was arrested after he was seen defecating on a dead possum by police officers out in the open where any other motorist could see him. It was just 2 days ago at 5:30 p.m. Clearwater, Florida. They witnessed 45-year-old Rudy Wilcox. Okay, Kane, this guy's 45 years old, they say. I got to put the look. I need you to look at his picture. How in the hell is that guy 45 years old?
45.
The dude is so. He looks like the guy. Oh my gosh. He is just. No, he looks like he is 60.
Oh, yeah.
That dude.
Late 50s, early 60s. Easy.
So 45-year-old Rudy Wilcox was seen defecating on a dead possum in a public area. They said, this is official news. This is the police report. They said that police saw Wilcox's pants lowered and his anal region exposed, and that it wasn't just seen by the officers, but that he was in full view of the motoring public during busy traffic hours. Kane's dying right now. Are you just dead? You're just dead. There's more.
Is there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so police said that Wilcox denied the allegation. He said that the officer doesn't see straight. And they said, dude, we see the physical evidence. We just see it there. And he said, that's not what it is. And I didn't do that. He did all that. But they said, no, you. So they arrested him for exposure of sexual organs, and he was booked in a county jail on a $150 bond. So if you're just joining us, a dude literally dropped a deuce on a dead possum on the side of the road. So, and police said that his full anal area was exposed, and they cited him for exposure of sexual organs.
So it costs.
But it is legal to poop on a dead possum in Florida.
Yeah, it costs $150.
If you show poop. Your ass in Florida, it's $150. Poop but on you can poop on a dead possum. Okay. We've established that.
All right.
I'm bookmarking this one. This one gets saved, dude. This one gets saved. This one ain't going nowhere. Oh my gosh. Let's see. We also have, oh man. Oh, here's a headline. What's going on in Florida lately? A Florida man was arrested after giving unauthorized massages. This is in Jacksonville. Well, they say that Dion Gordon was arrested Wednesday and charged with 5 counts of sexual battery at the Jacksonville Chiropractic and Rehabilitation Office. And they said that he just started giving massages.
So I'm supposed to stretch him, not rub him.
Oh, man. The patients were like, this is weird. And they reported him. So he's totally in jail. I just can't. They can't deal with this stuff. I got to get to the guy who blamed voices for robbing Dollar General 2 times in a day. 2 times in the same day, the same Dollar General. And he said it was voices. We'll come to that. We'll have that one for you on Monday. We have a whole other hour on the way. Stick with us.
Nowhere is that more true than when it comes to climate. Every economy around this table faces this challenge, every one of us. And as I've said before, it's the only existential threat to humanity. We either get this right or there's not going to be a whole lot of people around to talk about it.
Does his mouth not work? That's the president saying the weather's going to kill us all dead. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. I don't care about the weather right now. Can we have a conversation about what the hell is going down at Target? First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Guys, I haven't been in a Target in I don't know how long. Not just because I just, there's nothing I ever need there. I just don't go there. But, what they doing? What's happening here? So I saw, how do I say this? They have gay nutcrackers. Now, Steve's response was that was a Tuesday and it took me a second. But they have those and they have apparently gay Christmas decorations. I mean, how much of an annoying virtue signaler are you that you have to put some sort of tangible representation of how you get it on your tree? Well, I wouldn't have known how you had sex if you didn't have that gay Santa ornament on your tree. I mean, or the gay nutcracker. Wow, I wouldn't know that you how you like to have sex if you didn't have that gay nutcracker. Why? Why does everything have to just... They do. They have these. I mean, it's the most... It is a joke by itself. This was not done to be humorous. They did this on purpose, like accidentally on purpose. So they have these, for the people on the left who read with pictures, what we're making fun of is the fact that they feel the need to seek validation in Christmas ornaments. I love to celebrate the birth of my savior by declaring how I have to sex. So basically, you're celebrating the birth of a savior with fornication. That's essentially what I am to understand out of this. That's correct, Kane, right? Yeah. Sure. Celebrating holiness with fornications. Like, screwing for chastity, guys. Doesn't make any sense, but I digress. Do you constantly have to tell people who you are all the time with everything? What is the point of this? Does your blood type change? Do you have purple blood now? Does something in you change because of your preferences in a private activity? Why do you have to have this all the time everywhere? The regular nutcracker wasn't good enough. The regular Santa wasn't good enough. You couldn't just have regular ornaments. You got to have gay ornaments. Yeah, I guess they put rainbows on it. And they're like, look, ta-da, now it's gay. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I don't know how to address this one. Because it's so over the top. We're making fun of it. And there's a difference between making fun of something and criticizing it. We just think it's ridiculously hysterical, no pun intended. It is hysterical. I mean, I just don't understand why... And I was looking on that. They literally have a whole category of alphabet. They have alphabet Christmas decorations.
What, like the letters?
They have alphabet Christmas deals. LGBT. They don't have any Q on there. Riot. I mean, I don't understand this. Why? I don't understand.
They're just being inclusive.
Of what?
Of the gay community.
So you're telling me that unless Santa is decked out like Liberace in rainbows, that he's hostile?
I don't know about that. Is that what the claim is?
I don't know. I just, if I was Santa, ain't nobody be getting crap this year.
Wait, are
except
they
dictionaries and Bibles, because a lot of people need it.
Are they saying that regular ornaments are hostile?
Apparently, they needed special gay ones. They didn't feel represented. You know, the reindeer with the red nose wasn't representative of how, you know, oh man. Help me out here, Kane.
If Rudolph changed his gender, he could dominate all the female reindeer games.
Right, exactly. When I get our Christmas ornaments, my mom is one of those people who's like, you don't put ornaments on the tree unless it's like a keepsake. And I'm like, all right. So all of ours, you know, mean something. Either the kids made them or it was from when we were kids, something like that. And I just can't, you know, I was looking at like a Santa. He used to be in felt, but over the years it just kind of worn off. But I just can't imagine looking at that and being thinking and going, you know, quietly whispering, why do you hate gay people? To my Santa ornament, you know. I'd put these ornaments up, but I think they hate the gays. So they have a whole rainbow section, but not to be outdone, because, you know, what's Christmas without exuberant virtue signaling from every single aspect of humanity? There's a Santa on wheels. I don't care. I just think, like, why was this necessary before? Did it really ever bother anybody before that there wasn't a Santa in a wheelchair?
No, it would make the story of him coming down the chimney a lot less believable. That's what I'm saying.
I hate you.
Can we not?
This is your fault. Oh my gosh. I don't understand why the need to go that hardcore. Right? Do you see me out there like, where's my Santa with guns? I gotta have my Santa with guns all over him. You know, I'm not out there demanding that. Right? Oh my God. I'm not asking, you know, for like a dead reindeer slung over his shoulder and hunting rifle over the other. I'm not.
I don't insist on a Mexican Santa.
Yeah, you don't have a sombrero Santa.
Right.
That's right. Damn that. They hate you. If it's not on the shelf, they hate you.
Yep. That's what it is. It's oppression. That's what it is.
It's actual oppression. Yep. Slavery, actually, because you don't have a sombrero. It's Hitlerism.
Fascism.
Completely.
Yeah.
Why the constant, never-ending virtue? It's so cringe. Stop it. You don't have to have rainbow everything. You don't have to have, I mean, it just, because it seems contrived and it seems like it's put on. I mean, you're making cheap crap in China and slapping rainbows on it, you know, where they would kill you for being gay. And they're acting like that's like somehow supportive of the alphabet community. I mean, the irony is so insane. And there are people who are just like, oh yeah, I love that. So I'm going to get my gay ornaments at the Targets. I don't know. I'm telling you what, Santa's just bringing everybody Bibles and dictionaries. It's all anybody gets this year. Martha Stewart says she's not doing turkey. She said she's turkeyed out.
What?
She says that she's sick of cooking. She's done. She'd made 14 turkeys already for a TV show this year. She says she's turkeyed out.
Is that legal?
No. Arrest her. Throw her back in jail. In my administration, I'd arrest her for being turkeyed out. You don't get to be turkeyed out in America. By the way, your friendly reminder to put your turkey in your fridge. You're welcome. Yeah, your frozen turkey, put it in your fridge. So I have some other serious news too, but I was completely distracted by the gay ornaments. Oh, and then of course you have the stories that are like, there's backlash from people about the gay ornaments. Do you think people are getting boycott fatigue?
I hope so.
I mean, I don't necessarily boycott. I just don't want to be somewhere that's cringe in the event that it's catching, you know? I just don't go there just because it's gross or it's cringe or something. But I do wonder if people are getting boycott burnout, which you can't really. But, you know, for this stuff, I just... It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me. But the stories that have been written on this are, oh, people are, there's backlash. It's not backlash. People are making fun of it. The left can't even, if you can't make fun of yourself for this, then you're truly a shell of a human because it is hysterical. All to have a whole section of gay ornaments is just hysterical. It is the most commercial thing I could ever think of. It is hysterical, and you should be laughing about it because it's funny. But they're like, there's backlash. No, we're like, Target really's having one. They really outdid themselves this year. That's what the response has been. Good grief. There's so many jokes to be made here, particularly with the Nutcrackers, but I digress. Speaking of banned all the things, so Pink You've never seen Pink and Eddie Izzard in the same room. I'm not going to be too ignorant because her husband's a big two-way guy. And that's cool. But I don't understand the banned book thing. She's like, I'm getting around the banned books. She says she's giving away banned books. And she's got a couple of shows in Florida. And she said that she's going to be giving away banned books. How are you giving them away in Florida if they're banned? I mean, if they're banned, that means you can't even give them away. How are you getting... Oh, you mean it's because they're not banned? I mean, it's crazy to think that, you know, it's bad for parents to just want to know if you're showing their third grader a graphic novel of prepubescent teenage boys pegging each other. Oh, I said it. Hey, if that makes people uncomfortable, me saying that on air, it should make you super uncomfortable that it was available for elementary kids to read. And junior high. Yeah, it should make you super uncomfortable. If it's not appropriate for me to talk about it on air, it should make you super uncomfortable that legit kids in classrooms, I know actual parents, like in real space, off air, offline, whose kids literally pulled that off of bookshelves in Texas, one school down the street from where I am. No joke. I actually saw the book in person with the library sticker on it and everything. So that happened. That wasn't just like, that wasn't anecdotal. That happened. I had the book in my hand. I'm like, oh my gosh. And they had the checkout thing, everything, the digital scan thing on the book, everything. Because it was in the library. So that's one of the books on the list that she wants to give out. Would she let her kids read that? Curious. Would she let her kids read that? Because I seriously doubt she would. I doubt her husband would. But I just think this is stuff that you should know if you're going to throw yourself all thirsty-like, seeking fame, into the debate. You should know that this is what is in the book. It's not, people aren't banning them. This isn't like what the left was doing to Huckleberry Finn, by the way. They actually banned that book. That book you can't get in the, they banned it in a number of schools, like actually prohibited it. This wasn't, we need to have parental consent because of an appropriateness for age. This was, get it out of there entirely. This, parents didn't even say ban them. They said, can we actually have a discussion about what we're allowing our kids to read and what you're introducing in the classroom for kids to read before you introduce it to them? For crying out loud, when I was a kid, my mom had to sign at some point. I think I was in like sixth or seventh grade. At some point, I had to take a permission slip home for my mom to sign for her to say it was okay for us to sing Christmas carols in school. She had to sign a thing saying that it was okay for me to sing songs of a religious nature in school. She actually had to sign that. But this stuff, you can just show to kids. I mean, we were literally singing like Away in a Manger, for crying out loud. And she had to sign off on that. But this kind of stuff, that's why I think it's all these people like Pink and everybody else, this is so performative. They're not banned. I mean, what you're railing against is parental consent. And I thought that consent was something that the left liked. You know, they really don't.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Nepal bans TikTok, citing disruption to its social harmony. In a piece out from the BBC, they say that Nepal's banned the Chinese owned app because its content was detrimental to social harmony. They're pretty hardcore about that stuff. The decision comes days after they introduced a new rule requiring social media firms to set up liaison offices within the country. And India's also banned TikTok. They have about 1 billion monthly users for the app in total. Montana's the first state to ban it. UK banned it from its network earlier this year also. Farms that are looking for pumpkins after Halloween for animals to eat because they love them. And I can attest to this because I have a friend who has goats out in Colorado, and she got a whole bunch of pumpkins that a store gave her after Halloween, and the goats went crazy for them. They're just like the stuff that's not the freshest, but goats and pigs, all kinds of stuff. If you have undecorated pumpkins, everyone's like, don't throw them out, because a lot of farms would love the pumpkins as a treat for their animals. And that's what they're telling everybody. Like, pigs love it. Goats love it. Everybody loves it. And they said that the animals know that it's a special treat, and it's like candy for them. And it's a way to get rid of your old pumpkins without, you know, just throwing them away. Because otherwise they don't get them because they'd have to buy them. And that can be a lot for those animals. A Springfield man is charged for kidnapping a woman at Chainsaw Point in the Ozarks, Springfield, Missouri. charges were filed against a man after he allegedly kidnapped a woman at Chainsaw Point. Like, by chainsaw. Roy Flores is charged with kidnapping, first degree burglary, and unlawful use of a weapon. They say the incident happened earlier this spring, and he forced his way into a home with a chainsaw, kidnapped her, also threatened to burn the house down. Jeez, with a chainsaw. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
And make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, chapter and verse, all kinds of good stuff that goes out through that. The ongoing, a couple of things. We've had the TikTok stuff with all the kids praising. So really weird, really weird. They're all praising Osama bin Laden, the letter, and all this stuff. I think a lot of, just kind of going to show you that I think a lot of kids just weren't raised properly, clearly. I wanted to get to some audio on that, and then we're going to move on to whether or not LeVar Burton is going to get punchy with people. That's an actual real story. I thought this was very interesting. This is Mike Gallagher, who went off on this whole TikTok story, this post 9/11 letter to America. Listen to this.
Well, these people are, of course, massive idiots. I just came from watching the footage that the Israeli embassy compiled about the October 7th attack. Mm-hmm. It is horrific. You're seeing Salafi jihadists, Hamas in this case, but Al-Qaeda was a Salafi jihadist organization, kill babies, behead innocent civilians with garden hose. These images are incredibly disturbing and show the true face of evil. So for someone on TikTok to somehow suggest that this is America's fault, or that bin Laden, who killed thousands of innocent Americans, was right, is absolutely disgusting and further evidence that we need to ban TikTok or force a sale before a Chinese-controlled app, before the Chinese Communist Party checkmates the free world by controlling the dominant media platform in America that can spread this dangerous, disgusting nonsense. It is time for a ban or a forced sale.
So here's the question. Is it acceptable from the perspective of a limited government position? Is it acceptable to ban apps because people are a lot of the people who use said apps are too stupid to pay attention? It's not that they can't recognize disinformation. They just don't care. It's not that they're stupid. It's that this is about confirmation bias. People are very self-serving. That's why I think that there's a disjointed, there's a misunderstanding about that. Is it fair? Is it acceptable to be a limited government person and say that even if it's owned by the Chi-Coms, then you can ban the app? Because I am right in the middle of this. I can argue both sides of it incredibly well, and I don't know where I come out. Because if you ban the app, does that solve the problem? Think about it. It's not that people are stupid and that they can't recognize misinformation, or it's not misinformation. Can we just be real? Absolute BS. It's lies and BS. It's not that people are stupid and they can't recognize BS. I hate calling it misinformation. Again, the revolution is complete when the language is perfect. Calling it misinformation absolves people of the crime of tribalism, in a societal crime. It absolves them of the immorality of rejecting truth in favor of ideology. Misinformation allows people to absolve themselves of the laziness sometimes that you have to get over to go and find out the real truth of something. So I don't like using that word misinformation. I don't believe in misinformation. I think that there's lies, damned lies, and BS. And I do think that this isn't an issue of people being too stupid to recognize misinformation. These are people who are just tribal and ideologically blind. By choice, they refuse to accept any other premise or think of anything in any other way. This is about them engaging in confirmation bias. If it confirms what they already believe, regardless of whether or not the information is based in fact, if it can just be presented as such, to a lazy populace that is too busy or doesn't have their priorities in order to check something before embracing it, then it'll do. And that's what TikTok and social media, ultimately, social media is the matrix. This is what it's good at. And people play right along with it. I see it all the time. I see it all the time on Facebook. That's where I see it the worst, is on Facebook. And it's confirmation bias. And people will engage in it. Right and left, people will engage in it. The left is actually a little worse, but that's what it is. So back to my question, I mean, is it a legitimate position? Can you actually hold that position or call yourself a small government person? Now, here's where I see it from the other side. Well, you could argue that it's a psyop and an act of war, so to speak, a cold one, from a geopolitical foe. And when you make that argument and you put it through that filter, well, then that makes some sense. Then if it's an apparatus of war, then yeah, ban it. I mean, you wouldn't allow people your enemies to store missiles here, but you're going to allow them to have their apps to brainwash everybody. I mean, I get that. But at the same time, don't you have to be a willing participant in brainwashing to a certain extent with this kind of stuff? I mean, we're not talking about five-year-olds here. We're talking about grown-ass people who know better and who can look up stuff. It doesn't make sense. They can look things up, like banned books. You can look stuff up. But people who hate Republicans or who hate DeSantis or hate whatever, they want to believe whatever they want to believe about it. And so if they see that, that looks like something that confirms their pre-existing bias, then they'll go ahead and they'll adopt that. They will embrace it. That's part of their library now, their mental library. So that's why I just don't know if that's actually, it would do anything to help. I don't know if it would do anything to help. So apparently LeVar Burton he was joking about punching. I don't take it as a joke. He's threatened to punch Moms for Liberty. They had this, the 74th Annual National Book Awards in New York. And he opened it up. He said, before we get going, are there any Moms for Liberty in the house? Moms for Liberty? No? Good. Then hands will not need to be thrown tonight. Okay, Jordy. I mean, you can say like it's a joke, but hi, have you seen people literally been getting assaulted? And you're threatening to beat up moms because they don't want to talk about, they don't want graphic novels about teenagers pegging each other in their kids' classrooms? That makes you the pervert, not anybody else. That's what you're fighting for. Make these people own it. Oh, you want kindergartners to read about dildos. Okay. Okay, LeVar Burton. LeVar Burton is all about kindergartners and dildos. Make them own it. That's what this is. That's the position. Hey, that's your position. If you don't like your position, maybe you should have a new one. That's because that's what these books are. And then they try to throw everything, like they try to add innocuous titles that no one's ever complained about into the whole thing. And then someone else is like, what about the Old Testament? Wow, I don't know a lot of kids that are poring over the Old Testament in second grade. Good grief. It's about age appropriateness. That's what this conversation was ever about. But LeVar Burton, you all know he's been a jackass for some time, right? Y'all know he's been, yeah, he's a real one. He's always been kind of he's always been a jerk. But because apparently supporting age-appropriate materials in classrooms means that you should have hands thrown at you. That was just a jerk move. I wish I sometimes could rewind time, and then I would probably like try to get an invitation to that, and then I would sit in it, and I'd be like, what's good? What's good, LeVar? What's good? Come on, Jordy. What's good? Come throw hands. Let's see how far you get. Come catch these hands. Go bad baby on him. I'm joking. That was horrible. Can't stand her. But you know what I mean. Who does this kind of stuff? This is so crazy. You know, and then I would have had the book, and then I would have totally bum rushed the stage and taken it over and been like, this is what you support, y'all, a bunch of, you know, pedophiles. This is what you support. And then, you know, see what happens there. So apparently they're called extreme, but Hamas isn't. I love it. That's just crazy. It's so extreme to not want kids to learn about, you know, sex toys in elementary. So extreme. What if I were to come in their classroom and teach them about guns? How long do you think that that would last before they all lost their ever-loving minds? Hunter's education. Come on, kids, let's go. You think that would? Do you think that would go over well? Come catch these hands, Jordy. Think that would come over well? A grown man. Can I just talk about a grown man talking about women? Throwing hands with women. You absolute. You glad I did that?
Yeah, strategic mute is, it comes in handy on occasion.
That dude's a pansy. Jordy, you're a pansy. Sitting here threatening to throw hands with women. You can clip that and you can make that its own tweet, Juan. You can go ahead and put that out there. To sit here and threaten to throw hands with moms because moms don't want kids in elementary school reading about sex acts. The hell's wrong with you? You're a grown-ass man sitting there talking about hitting women. Come hit me. I'm in Dallas. I'll fly you out here. Let's see how long you last, you pansy-ass beta male. I hate that stuff. Guy up there talking about throwing hands. Come catch these hands. I'll beat your ass. Done with this. Done with it. Oh, it's Friday. I'm in a mood. Ozark's coming out.
I was going to suggest we play the video of it.
Play it.
It looks like you'll just make you more...
Play it. Play it. Go on and do it. What's right. Good?
Before we get going, are there any Moms for Liberty in the house? Moms for Liberty? No? Good. Then hands will not need to be thrown tonight.
Oh, boy. I'm just looking at the monitor for your reaction.
Hands will not need to be thrown tonight. Well, hands is the only thing you're going home with, son, because clearly nobody wants a man who sits here and threatens to hit up women. I can't stand that. That makes me mad. The longer I'm stewing on it, the madder I'm getting. This is not a good place for anybody to be. Man alive. I can't. I can hear y'all out there too. I can hear y'all out there. Can you imagine? What if that? You know, there's some people's wives in that Moms for Liberty. There's some people's wives in that Moms for Liberty. Catch these hands. What are you going to do, LaVar? Because what? They believe in age appropriateness. They don't believe that, you know, as I just explained to you what that is. And what? And people were clapping it like seals. These dumb broads. Good grief. Any thoughts to add, Kane, before I move on?
No. I think that's pretty much it.
Man, I would Will Smith him catching them hands.
He would totally get beat up by moms, though, is the thing.
Oh.
I mean, that's...
Oh, that's an understatement.
That. Everyone knows that.
That is an understatement. It's so easy to talk tough when you're standing up at the mic, right? I mean, I've literally been on stage. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. In my mind, I'm like 5,000 pounds, right? I had a friend who gave me the sign. It's what does it say? She may be. It's a Shakespeare line. She may be like little, but she is fierce. And, you know, I'm like 120, 5'6". You know, in my mind, I'm like 7 foot tall, 5,000 pounds, right? And we were at. This is when we were in Wisconsin at the when they were doing all the recall, the Scott Walker stuff. And I had some big dudes that were in the back that were hollering at me and all that stuff. And one of them called me the B word. I literally, in the middle, I jumped off the stage and I just went out there. And my husband was talking to someone and they're like, is that your wife going there? And he's like, oh my gosh. That was second time I've done that. I have literally just dropped mic and have bolted. And I will get right up there. But you know what was so funny? It scared the hell out of them, A, that I did it. Because they were like, she's like a mad raccoon. What the hell is this small? There's something, I think somebody who's small-ish and has attitude that's terrifying. And this is why I think I'm scared of spiders and crickets. Like small things generally that have attitude and are very aggressive. And we ended up being friends, right? We ended up being friends. Like one of them was like, you don't understand country. And I'm like, I swear to you, if you try to outredneck me right now, I'm going to beat your ass with my life experience. You are not going to win this. You will not win this. If you're going to try to outredneck me, son, you will not win. not going to happen for you. Did you ever have family members take their Harley apart inside their living room and store it there for winter? Like literally right there by the entertainment unit? You didn't? Shut up. I mean, I'm just not hearing it. Not going to hear it. Did you wake up next to all the dead raccoons that your grandpa went and got the night before and played with them before grandma freaked out and made you stop? You didn't? Shut up. And they just looked at me like, you're crazy. But then they liked me. I did it again one time in St. Louis, too. Somebody was hollering. I'm like, I ain't even doing this. My point is that I will not hesitate to rush a bee like LeVar Burton. So if you want to come catch these hands, you are welcome to come and try to slap hands with me because it's not going to end well for you.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. We have Today in Stupidity coming up. I was just free. There's a montage, apparently. There's not one video of Biden saying booty juice, apparently, it was several times.
Yes.
And the guy is laughing so hard over it. I found another video. He's laughing so hard over it. We'll have to save that for next week because it's... And the way the guy laughs is contagious. But I didn't realize how many times he said it. And then we were having this conversation. I Googled what you were talking about, the denture thing. Because I'm like, what? Why does it sound like he has... I know he doesn't do dip, but it sounded like he had dip in his mouth, kind of. I don't know. And because he's talking like this.
We can even hear it in this clip that I have for today. Stupidity.
Probably time for that now. Listen to this, because you can really hear it in this.
I know President Buttigieg shares this commitment. And I want you to know, next year, when the APEC summit hosts, Peru will help drive these economies forward. We'll be hanging out in Peru.
I guess sucking on like one of those butterscotch candies or something, like a Werther's original.
Well, it is old man candy.
Right. So maybe that's what it is.
One of my friends who's a female is like, stop calling it that because I love it. She's like, it's not old man candy. I'm like, yes, it is.
It totally is.
Yeah, it does sound like he's got. Yeah, is that what? But you said that it's like his dentures. Somebody in the chat, in the YouTube chat, they were talking about that too. So
his dentures are probably loose or dry or something.
How hard is it to fix that? Like, he's the president of the United States. Again, friendly reminder, put your frozen turkey in the fridge, y'all. Have a great weekend. I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday.